Take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms this morning. We're going to read from Psalm 62 this morning. Psalm 62 in the book of Psalms. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 in Psalm 62 this morning. I'm going to read aloud as you read along silently. At Psalm 62, verses 1 through 7. As you're finding your place this morning, would you stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning? The book of Psalms, Psalm 62, in verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. What a powerful passage. Now I pray this morning as our pastor comes to preach from this text, you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Use him to help us today. Those that are listening on the internet and those of us in this room, do a work in our hearts and our lives. And Father, one last thing. If there's somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray they would get that forgiveness this morning before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I'm going to ask that you keep your Bibles open very carefully now and listen very quickly. Because if you're a good Baptist clock watcher, I have 12 minutes until 12, which means I have to be done at noon and get a two-hour sermon done in 12 minutes. And you're going to see it this morning. I'm not going to get there, but you're going to see it. So just listen real carefully, please, for these next few moments, would you? The book of Psalms, much of the book of Psalms was given to David. David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. By the way, he didn't write them all. But these psalms right here, especially Psalm 62, this is David. Now, this is David, I believe, somewhere along in his life where he's king. And David knew his share of difficulties in life. Can you imagine your best friend? His father wants to kill you. Can you imagine having conquered and seeing Goliath killed? And immediately it creates jealousy in the king who sent you to fight him. That's who his best friend's dad was, King Saul. His best friend, Jonathan. And for I don't know how long, but a great period of time, Saul did everything he could to kill David. And he ran and he hid. Years later, God resolved all that, and then David becomes king himself. And his son, one of his sons, Absalom, took 40 years to create a rebellion that chased David from his throne, and his own son wanted to kill him. And would have if he'd gotten his hands on him. David again has to run, and David again has to hide. He knew the difficulties of trouble within his family. One of his sons raped one of his daughters. Then the other son, the brother to that daughter, killed that son. So he saw death. He saw troubles. He saw difficulties. This man knew what difficulty was. Psalm 62 isn't just David talking about his difficulties. Psalm 62 is showing you how David found hope and strength in the middle of his difficulties. And therein is the sermon this morning. How to find hope and strength in difficult times. Say, well, I know how to do that, Pastor Johnson. Well, there's all kinds of forms and formats you could use, I suppose. But I suggest that the biblical one is always best. You know, with the blessing of learning from people who've gone through great difficulties in their life is learn how did they do it? How did they get through all that? When he comes to the end of his days, David will have seen his fair share of troubles, heartaches, disappointments, personal failures in his life. Yeah, he knew what difficulty was. In this 62nd Psalm, some people call it what's called the only Psalm, because the word only is used four times in this passage. Well, if you look at your Bibles again this morning real quickly, please, if you would. He says there, truly, and by the way, the word truly comes from the very same word as only. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. David uses that word over and over again because he's saying, you know what, only God was there for me. Can I tell you this morning how you handle difficult times to find strength and hope? I'm going to get right to the message this morning without belaboring the introduction. Here's what you do. Number one, you simplify things. Now, I don't know where David was in Psalm 62. I don't know if he was in a cave hiding from Saul or in a cave hiding from his son. I don't know. Bible doesn't indicate, can't really read it. You find it out by reading the 62nd Psalm, but I guarantee you he was going through some kind of difficulty in his life. Maybe he just got the word that his son had just raped one of his daughters and that son, that brother of that daughter would kill that son. Maybe he got that word. I don't know where he is, but David keeps saying, you know what? He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, my defense. He only. What David is doing, ladies and gentlemen, in difficult times is he's simplifying his thinking and his life. Now, see, in those days, we think, boy, their lives were so simple in those days. Truth of the matter is they had their own complications. They had their own battles and they had their own struggles. And sometimes we think because of our day and age today, we have much more complicated situations. I agree that people have more complicated situations today, but not because life is complicated. A lot of people complicate their lives by a lot of foolishness. You complicate your life by sin, it'll get more complicated than you can imagine. You do wrong and violate the Word of God, your life will get very complicated. You don't get right about it, and it's going to get even more complicated. And it just will accumulate. So this idea of simplifying our lives, some people, they complicate their lives by worry. They worry about everything. They worry about the situation in the world. They worry about the situation in society. They worry about the situation in their family. They worry about themselves. They worry about everything. Some people complicate their lives by exaggeration. They blow everything out of proportion, completely. When things are difficult, don't make it look worse than it is. Don't exaggerate that in your mind. Let your mind run off with your life. You're going to be in huge trouble. See, our lives are so complicated because now we can actually wear a watch that tells us the heartbeat of a wildebeest in Kenya. 300 some odd bucks for one of those stupid things, which you cannot wear when you take a tour in the dam because they're afraid you're going to blow the dam up with your watch. And it will tell you what your heartbeat is. Now, folks, look at me. If you need a watch to tell you if your heart's beating, you're like in big trouble. You're really in huge trouble, actually, as a matter of fact. Oh, yeah, look, I saw this kid the other day, a college kid, and he was showing me his watch. He goes, watch this, Brother Johnson, watch this. It'll show me my heartbeat. He pushes a thing, does a thing. He goes, there it is. And I said, mine's beating too. And I didn't cost me $360. I just took my little finger, put it right there on my wrist, and my heart is beating. I said, does it read your IQ? Because you're pretty stupid, pal, for spending $360 for a watch. Now we can pick up a phone, huh? Our whole life is in that telephone. Everything about us right here, in that little phone. Now we can be in touch with everybody, everywhere, anytime, any place, because we have our phones. Some of you folks, you will not make it to your car. You won't even get out of the house of God before you fire that box up and start checking to see who texted you, who called you. We haven't had a phone go off in the service in a long time. I think we threatened enough people where they're scared to death to have them go off in the service now. But I always think to myself, who's calling someone at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning? You ought to be in church. Well, that's free. But the truth is, you got some backslidden friends, pal. If they're calling you at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, they either be with you or they ought to be in a good church somewhere. This is a good one I know of. So here's the point. But our life, but seriously. Now, here it is. And now, with all the other access to media, social medias, and things like that, why we can be connected with people in their problems, in their lives, everywhere we go, and everything that we do. Can I ask you a question? Has that made the quality of our life any better? We're adding burdens to our lives. We're adding problems to our lives. Well, it's just because I care. You don't tell me that. Don't tell me you care about every problem you hear about, and it's not about wanting to know about problems. Just working? Okay, I'm just checking. See, it's amazing how before that we didn't have all that stuff. Our lives become so complicated in things. And you know something? When you're going through a difficult time, it is time to do what an old business expression says, simplify, simplify, simplify. Verse number one, is he your salvation? Yeah, I have salvation, but you see, whoa, stop a minute. I said, is God your salvation? Do you have salvation because Jesus Christ saved your soul? You put your faith, complete, simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation. His death on the cross saves you from hell. His resurrection saves you for heaven. And that's all you have? Is that only? Is that all you need? Well, I have that, Pastor Johnson. But you see, here's the thing. No. Simplify it. Back up. Simplify your life. Do you have salvation? Verse number two, is He your only rock? Now, see, some people, they think, well, Pastor Johnson, wait a minute. I mean, God is my help to me, but you see, I need this. No, excuse me. Is He your only rock? The only one. The only one you have. That's all you need. Because, you know why? It's all you need because that's all you have, but that's okay because that's all I have, but that's all I need. See, we're so connected today with people. We think we got to have this one and we got to have that one. And if we don't have our little friends, our little posse, our little crew, we don't have our little followers and our little friends, we don't have all this stuff, we don't have anything. Excuse me. If you are a child of God, He is your Heavenly Father. And He is your only dependable, faithful rock. And that rock in the Bible, it's interesting. If you look it up, it means a cleft of a rock. You know the old hymn, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock? Huh? It speaks of how when you're caught out there in the open in the Middle East, storms roll up very quickly. They knew where the little places where they could get into a hold, as it were, inside of the rock and let the storm blow by. It's that kind of a rock. But it's also a rock that provides a perspective where they could get up on top of a rock and look around and see enemies coming and get a vantage point on life. Have you ever done that before? Just kind of got out in the woods a little bit and got out on a precipice or a point of some kind and just kind of put the world away for a moment and just sort of looked a bit and how God just kind of ministered to your heart. Well, He's that kind of rock too. But He's also a rock of foundation upon which you can stand and you can lean, and it's solid, it's firm. That's Him. Is He your only rock? Oh, but I know people, they're upset with each other because somebody unfriended them on their Facebook page. Someone said that to me the other day. So-and-so unfriended me on their Facebook page. What is that all about? I said, they must have got to know you personally. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe they actually talked to you one day and found out you're a dipstick. I don't know what your problem is. But what? Who cares? Excuse me. I have a friend. Nobody's going to ever unfriend me from my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yeah, He's my friend. He's my rock. Oh, and He's my fortress. And He's my defense. And He's my salvation. You say, well, okay, Pastor Johnson, all right. But you don't understand. See, here's the deal. No, let me tell you what the deal is. If the fact that you are a child of God, and you have a God who is, as they sang this morning, faithful, faithful, faithful to me. If that's not enough to help you in life through difficult times, look at me. We could get a crew, we could get an army of people to come around and pat you on the back and tell you you're the neatest thing since peanut butter and sliced bread, and you still wouldn't make it. But you see, hey, when you're all alone in the middle of the night and there's nobody there, there's somebody there. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend who always knows and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. You know, it says several times in the Old Testament that God dwells in the dark places. Those places that seem so dark to us, nothing, you can't see out of it. You can't see ahead of it. You can't see your way out of it. Well, then he dwells in the dark places. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That 23rd Psalm, David again was the pen there. That 23rd Psalm reminds us, you walk through a valley, you don't walk alone. Huh? Simplify. Simplify your thinking and your living. Get right down to the simplicity of it all. Here's what we do. Hey, difficulty comes, we get the burdens of things upon us, we get weighed down with it, and what do? We just sit around and do nothing. Worst thing on the planet. You got to get the help and the grace of God, and he will. And he will help you. You get with God and make sure you're right, even though everything else isn't. I can't make everything right in my life. I just can't do it. Hard as we try, especially you control freaks out there, not me, of course. Not me. I told my wife I'd divorce her if she touched the control of the television and said, don't touch that control now. That's mine. I can't make life right around me. I just can't. As much as I would like to, as much as I like to solve everybody else's problems, I can't do that. But I'll tell you what I can do. Look at me. If everything around me isn't going right, Mike Johnson is going to get right with his God and be right with his God, because that's all I really need anyhow. Some of you neglect your horizontal relationship and fellowship with him and spend all your time, your vertical, excuse me, relationship and fellowship with God, and you spend all your time on the vertical stuff. No wonder your life's complicated, and no wonder you can't find hope or strength in your difficulties. Simplify. Number two, amplify. See, I got that. Let me tell you about my problems. And you start to list them out, and before you know it, they're bigger than an elephant. And I'm not talking about amplify your troubles. I'm talking about amplify your blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many troubles, name them one by one, and you'll find a bridge to jump off of. The truth of the matter is, that's not what the song says, is it? You count your blessings and you name them one by one. Okay, there you are in your Bible. Go to verse number 6, please. Here's David finding strength. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That word Selah there, you see the word Selah, that's a musical expression. I'm going to butcher it. I know I am. But it has a music. All the psalms could be sung, put to music. And it's a musical expression. It has three different meanings. But one of those meanings is pause. Here, pause. Because you see, David wasn't just telling people what they ought to do. David was reminding himself what he ought to do. That he is your God, salvation, help, deliverer, strength. And you amplify what you know God has done for you in the past. See, we get in those troubles sometimes, those difficult times, and we forget what God has done. Well, I know he's answered prayer in the past, but you don't understand about this. Well, excuse me. Then back up a second and remind yourself what you just said. God has answered prayer. Has God ever answered your prayers? Okay, there's six of you. Has God ever, and the rest of you, if you keep praying, it'll come around. I said, has God ever answered your prayers? Has God ever been faithful to you? Has God ever lifted you when you fell down? Has God ever stood beside you? Has God ever strengthened you? Has God ever done exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think? Has he ever done any of that for you? The answer should be yes for every child of God, because he has. Well, then amplify that. We look at our troubles and we think to ourselves, oh my goodness, I'm going down with this one. So I came up to him one day and he said, Pastor, I'm up against it and it's over. Unless God comes through right away, And I said, oh, my goodness, what is it? Can I pray with you about it? Yeah, Pastor. And they told me. I said, okay, what's the time frame? When does this have to happen? A year from now? A year. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're ahead of the game here. Last time I checked it, you did a lot in 6 days. So let's pray about it now and see what God will do before the year's up. You know, the truth is, dear people, we amplify our troubles and we minimize our blessings. No wonder there's no hope or strength. God never did anything for me. Well, then you're in a horrible situation. God, I feel sorry for you. You couldn't, hey, if we had a testimonial time this morning and we went around, got a microphone that worked and went around here to each and every person and had you stand up and do a, got that, did you? And do that whereby, Alan's really something else. You know, he just kept on singing. It was really good. Dead mic up here. This one right here? Good. Okay, there we go. Now, went around to get testimonies and say, okay, stand up and tell me what God's done for you. We'd be here for days if we're right. But if I asked you, tell me what your troubles are, which would you know better, your blessings or your troubles? Oh, well, troubles weigh us down. I mean, come on now. You know, it's a great old joke, but it's true. Lone Ranger, Tonto, faithful Indian sidekick, riding out across the wilderness. Suddenly, 1,000 Indians from the north, 1,000 from the east, 1,000 from the west, 1,000 from the south. They're completely surrounded by bloodthirsty my brothers. Lone Ranger turns to his faithful Indian sidekick, Tonto, and says, what are we going to do? And Tonto says, what do you mean, we, white man? Yeah. You got stuff. You got people. You got things. Nobody's there. Can't get anybody on the telephone. Nothing's going on. All I'm going to see is my troubles. You don't understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the troubles I face in my life. I do not, but the God of heaven still does. All I'm asking you is this. David said, you know what? He's been our God. He is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our defense. He is. When he said salvation there, he's not talking about salvation of soul. He's talking about salvation of life. David ran down the valley of Elah with a pocket full of rocks in a sling and killed a 10-foot giant. That ain't bad. That would be like one of those things God does. Cut his head off and kept it in his tent for the rest of his life or wherever he lived. You go to David's house, there'd be a lion and a bear up there he killed when he's a shepherd boy. And in between it, there's Goliath's head. You see, I got that lion and a bear one day when they came over and tried to kill one of my lambs. I got that guy right there in the Valley of Elah. Still got the rock in his head. You didn't have to convince David God could do great things. He amplified his blessings, not his troubles. He amplified what God has done for you. And remind yourself, please, that David here is not just telling everybody, he's telling himself. Don't you have to do that? Now, talking to yourself is not bad. Answering yourself, then you got problems. But talking to yourself is not bad. Don't you ever do that? Man, why in the world did you do that? Most common thing I tell myself is, shut up, Johnson. Now, don't you do it. Shut up, Johnson. Shut up, Johnson. Shut up, Johnson. Shut up, Johnson. Don't say anything. Shut up. Just be quiet. Sometimes it's better to carry my burden to God than unload it on somebody else. But please understand something. That doesn't mean we shouldn't or we couldn't. We ought to bear one another's burdens. You know, that is in the Bible. I just found that no one cares for me like Jesus. As much as I tell people, years ago, I had a pastor friend come in. This is way back in the beginning of our church, almost 30 years ago now. And we were having a hard time in church. And I was struggling with some things, and I was really discouraged. And he came. He's a good friend of mine. Came to preach, and I thought, this guy's going to really help me. Because I'm going through this stuff, you know. So we're sitting in his motel room. I'm talking to him. He says, well, how's it going, man? I said, well, truth of the matter is, I'm having the worst time. I'm struggling on just about every front, and the church is not doing well. I don't know. I said, maybe I'm done here. Maybe I'm just not the guy to pastor this church. I don't know. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, here's a good friend. I'm giving him with the background music and everything. All I needed was a smoke machine. That was it. I mean, I had everything. And he's going to look at me and say, oh, Brother Johnson, you're a good man. You know, he did. He looked at me. He goes, let me ask you a question. He goes, when was the last time you led someone to Christ? I go, oh, I don't know. He goes, well, let me ask you a question. What kind of Bible reading prayer life you got? I said, well, it's not too good. He goes, well, hey, man, well, you know what your problem is? Your problem is you. Thanks. And if I was drowning, you'd throw me an anchor, wouldn't you? Truth of the matter is, he did help me. Because I got off the pity potter and got busy, and then it was all right after that. He was God sent. It didn't seem like at the moment, but it was. But every time I've come to him, he has been faithful to me. When times are difficult, you amplify your problems. Number three, and this is the word vilify. Now, you have to look it up. Shows you my college training. So what does it mean? I have no idea. It just goes with the other fives I had. Amplify, simplify. I define a fi, vilify. Vilify means set things straight in your mind. That's what it means. How has it gone for those who did the wrong thing? Verse number three. Let me see. Like a tottering wall. Ooh, that's not good. Then he says, now look at your Bibles. Verse number three. How long you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall, shall be as a tottering fence. How has it gone for people who did wrong? Didn't turn out too good. But that's what my difficulties are. I got people messing with me in my life. Well, listen to me carefully. Now, who to do better than deal with them than you or God? Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. That king that chased David, made him live in a cave and all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, he became the first recorded suicide in the Bible. Fell on his own sword. Died horribly in battle. They cut his head off and nailed it to the wall of a heathen temple. Did David want that? Nope. Did God do it? Yep. I think God takes care of things better than us. Get your mind straight now. This is my difficulty and this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. You know you sound like a goat when you talk like that, right? But okay, hold on. But now listen, you really think that's the way it's going to be? Was it that way for David? Was it all trouble and difficulty in his life? Or did it have periods of that? Yes, it was, wasn't it? There was times when things were not good. There was times when things were very good. Verse 5, and we finish quickly. Now look at this. He says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. You wait. That means you give God time to come through. You keep your faith in him. Your expectation comes from God. I'm going to honor his word. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to do the right thing here and just stay faithful to the Lord. And my expectation is from God to make this thing come out. It's from God to help me work this situation out. It's from God to give me wisdom to know how to deal with these matters. It's from God to put his hand on things that I can't do anything about, but only God can fix. But I have God that can do that, and God can do anything. My expectation is from God. See, expectation breeds hope, and hope gives you strength, and then you can do what you got to do. Because without that, then we're going to sink in the quagmire of the misery of our lives. What a horrible place to be. So, Pastor Johnson, you're just trying to encourage our hearts. Are you picking up on that, Einstein? Yeah, sure. Because in the difficult, most difficult days of our life, there is hope and there is strength if we get it from the right source. Simplify. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Amplify your blessings, not your problems. And vilify. Get some things straight in your mind. Who is God? Is he God enough? Those who do you wrong, how does that turn out for them? Goliath challenged David, and he got his head cut off. Saul chased David, and he committed suicide. Absalom tried to kill his own father, and he got stuck in the branches of a tree, and they stuck arrows in his heart. I'm not saying that we desire for these two people to have some kind of horrible suffering or end to their life. All I'm saying is this. You mess with somebody who does right and stays right, God intervenes. He does. You just let him do that, okay? You do the right thing. My expectation is from God. I can't see how this could possibly get any better. Of course you can't, because your vantage point is not his. Remember that rock thing? By God being your rock, part of that was you have a vantage point to look at things from God's perspective. And maybe you won't even see it like he does, but God sees better than we do.